The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. And I'm your host, John Ryan, and today's co-host with me today is Janet Entine.
Good morning.
Thanks, Janet, for being here. This is wonderful. And our first guest, who is somebody I met at the Five Wishes presentation you made about a month or two ago, is Linda Cooper. Linda is Director of Community Program Development at North Shore LIJ. And the focus today is aging with dignity and advanced directives. And while everybody knows what they are, not everybody has it. And we have somebody in our... Go ahead, Janet.
Well, I was saying before the program began that this is a perfect segment for me to be in and to sit here and take notes because my husband and I talk around it. Let's do it. Let's sit down. Do we need an attorney? Oh, we need an attorney? Well, who should we get? How do we go about this? And we know the importance of it. We just haven't done it. So I very much appreciate being here today.
Well, good morning,
show,
everybody.
Linda.
Okay. Well, this is great, and I'm very happy to be here. And I'm part of North Shore LIJ Home Care Network, and involved with Project Independence for a while, and so happy to be here to talk about advanced directives, because you're right. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, I know that's something I should do, but they don't really know how to go about it. So an advanced directive is a term that we use for a number of different documents that sets forth what people would want if they couldn't speak for themselves. And it guides the people around them, their physician, their family, as to the kind of medical treatment they would prefer, depending on what situation they're in, if they can't speak for themselves. And there are a lot of different kinds of tools, and the first being talking with the family. Okay, well, who should make that decision for me? And the very first thing that people might want to do is think about appointing a healthcare agent. People ask me all the time, well, don't I need to go to an attorney for that? And you don't need to go to an attorney. Some people go to an attorney when they're doing their estate planning or they're doing their wills and everything else that people go to attorneys for, and the attorney will say, would you like me to set up a healthcare power of attorney, which is another word for a healthcare proxy. The attorney can help you with it, but you absolutely don't need an attorney to do a healthcare proxy. What you need to do a proper advance directive is to have a lot of soul searching and a lot of thoughts about the way you want to live your life and what's important to you, so that if something happens to you, people can help make decisions for you.
You also have to be in this communication. It's a collaborative effort with the family, because you have to make sure the person you do pick. You know, some people will just pick, oh, my oldest daughter, my oldest son. It doesn't work that way, because
right.
That person, you know, might be a genius. I don't really care what they are. They can't do it. And you can't put a burden like that on somebody. It really is conversation, 100%, to pick who is the best person
right.
who can handle it.
And then you got to tell them what's important to
mm-hmm.
you. Because when you choose a healthcare agent, the paperwork associated with that, you actually just you sign the person, you sign it, you have two people witness it. It does not have to be notarized. But the truth is, you don't really even have to tell the person that you made them the proxy. And what could be worse to do to somebody than all of a sudden they find out they're your healthcare proxy and you're unconscious and they need to make a decision? So
right.
it's so important that families have these kinds of conversations.
Is there any advice about whether it should be one person or more than one person?
You can have one agent and an alternate. That's the way the paperwork is. And anybody can go up to the New York State Department of Health website mm-hmm. and grab that paperwork right off the web. It's simple to find. Just put New York State Department of Health, healthcare proxy, and it will come up. And you'll see that it says, I appoint so-and-so as my healthcare agent. And if that person is unwilling or unavailable, then this is the alternate. And it's
okay.
really important that you don't put two people.
Right.
It's you got to put a proxy and an alternate and talk with those people about what kind of flexibility you think that they should have when making the decisions. Because, right. you know, you can decide to have a plan when you're fairly healthy in your 60s right. and not think about it too right. much. And then you're, you know, 85 and something has happened and you haven't talked about it in 20 years.
Right.
And people say, oh, you know, we had that conversation, but I don't know if they meant it. And so it's
exactly.
just really important
yeah.
to have an ongoing. And it's not something that only people in their 60s need to do. I mean, when we think about your, you know, our listeners will remember some very famous names. Karen Quinlan, mm-hmm. 1975.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Kruzan, 1987.
Right.
And Terri Schiavo in the
yes.
End
recently,
of the 90s
yeah.
or in the 2000s. These were young women, all three. And their situations drove very controversial court cases that have actually led to a lot of the developments that we've had in the last recent times in making sure that people do have these conversations, and so somebody's not fighting over them at the end of their life, because how terribly sad is that?
Wasn't recently, it might have been Dick Clark or the other famous.
No, it was
somebody
Casey
on the radio.
Casey Kasem.
Wasn't that a situation where
right,
stuff
exactly.
wasn't organized? It was
yep.
a second wife, I believe.
Yes, it was.
Kids
right.
from the first. You know, these things can always work out nicely if everybody communicates.
That's
what
right.
Linda's trying to say. But when nobody talks and all of a sudden, I think I'm entitled, you're entitled, Janet's, mm-hmm. everybody's entitled to something,
right.
a say, which is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just so important. One question is, what brought this about? I don't remember hearing this 30 years ago. Not that I was paying attention 30 years ago, to be honest with you. None of us
right.
were. But what was the impetus that brought this whole concept about?
You know, I think that 30, 40 years ago, the technology didn't even exist.
Good.
To give people the choices that we have mm-hmm. now in our medical care. And some of that technology has been remarkable in helping people to live wonderfully longer lives with great quality of life. You know, dialysis, pacemakers, you know, even feeding tubes, which, you know, people get a little scared of at the end of life, though, for somebody who has cancer and who can't eat for a temporary period of time, mm-hmm. That feeding tube can be a wonderful thing that'll help them get through their chemotherapy. So these are mm-hmm. terrific developments in our medical, in healthcare. But those same things can be used to sustain people's lives beyond where they may want to be sustained.
Right, right.
So those choices didn't exist. I think people went to their doctors and the doctor said, well, this is what I recommend. I remember as a kid when my great-grandmother was sick, the doctor said, well, she has pneumonia. That's the old person's friend.
Yes, yeah.
You could die. You know, it was okay.
I remember that.
It was okay.
Right.
And the doctor just decided
right.
when it was time. And
right.
We live in different times. And I think the...
Thank goodness.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that we're more... this generation is more concerned about having that control. We're not, you know, as interested in giving it over to somebody that we haven't
right.
appointed. So
okay.
I think that's the reason for that.
Control, that's a good word, because I'm going to actually go to Janet with this one. You know, the things that we can control, make every effort to control them.
Yeah.
If it's out of our control, that's fine. But by not making a choice, say you and your husband,
right.
you're making a choice just to be at the will of anybody.
I think part of the issue is, interestingly enough, is that my husband and I have been married for 45 years, and he's always made his wishes quite clear.
Okay.
So I know exactly what they are. Mine, I think, are fuzzier. So I think that perhaps in some ways I've held him back. But we are going to take care of it. Now, my next question to you is, once you decide on who the person is, and he and I have decided that already, mm-hmm. what do you do next? Where do you get papers? How do you begin the process?
So, for a healthcare proxy, for that, which everyone should have, no matter how old they are or what their health is, you go to the New York State Department of Health and you print out a healthcare proxy form. And it's pretty self-explanatory. There are very clear instructions. And as I said, you don't need a lawyer and you don't need it to be notarized. You just sit down with that form. And on the form, it's always a good idea just to write, "My agent knows my wishes." That way, if anything comes up and there's some concern about from other family members, well, wait a minute, are you sure that they wanted a trial of mechanical ventilation? My agent knows my wishes. And that will pretty much cover any kind of intervention whatsoever.
Wow,
so
okay.
That's the very first thing. There are other kinds of advance directives that people sometimes choose. Some attorneys will give you a living will to complete. And a living will is basically the guidance that we like to give our healthcare proxies. That's what a living will is. A living will is not a legal document that, you know, somebody can bring to the hospital and say, here's their living will. They still need a surrogate or a proxy to finally make a decision. And that's another point I want to make. I mean, I don't want anybody to get crazy if today they didn't have their healthcare proxy and they think they're going to go to the hospital and nobody's going to be able to make the decision. Because the New York State, we have something in New York State called the Family Healthcare Decisions Act. And that statute allows people to make decisions for you. So if you have nothing. If you have nothing,
okay.
That the first person that they would go to would be your spouse. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had talks that I've given and somebody said, oh, no, it's the last person I want to have that decision. So then you've got to fix it. But the statute has a hierarchy of people, spouse adult child.
I'm going to interrupt you there. Adult child.
Mm-hmm.
What if you have three or four or five? That's
it just
when the
says
issues.
Adult child.
See, that's when
right.
That's when
exactly.
The problem comes
yeah.
Because now you
it
have
fighting.
It doesn't
say the first one, the smartest one.
Right.
The
see, that's the
one.
Issue. So
right.
You have three or four.
Right.
And then the end result is I'm mad at you because yeah. You didn't do what I wanted to do, and it's ridiculous when the person lying there had something in their mind.
That's right.
And that's if it went chronological, that's fine.
No. It just says adult child.
Okay, that's a rough one.
Parent, adult child. Right.
Even parent-wise, it's you know, the bottom line is, and you said it earlier, it's communication. And updating it, because you're right, at the age of 60, you fill out a form, that's stuck in my head, and at the age of 85, some people have remarried. The spouse might have passed mm-hmm. on, but you mm-hmm. still have something. But now with your new partner, mm-hmm. it's a whole different world, and you're looking at things a little differently.
And I think that people do change. I mean, when you're younger, you might say, I would never want to be dependent on anybody for anything. Mm-hmm. You know, if I can't drive myself to the hairdresser, then I don't want to be kept alive. And then you get to a point where you've lost some of your independence. But you know what? It's okay.
Right.
And you're
I agree.
Still having fun. And you're still getting pleasure out of life. And you want to make sure that everybody around you knows that your thoughts may have changed about what mm-hmm. what you think is important.
In the town of North Hempstead, everybody has to be very concerned to sign these things like 5 or 6 years ago before Christina got involved in the project and the transportation with Shari and everybody. You're right. I mean, I'm fooling around, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
Things have changed so dramatically that what you thought you'd never be able to accomplish, you can.
Yes.
You know, and therefore, why cut a life short when, okay, it's going to be chemo or whatever it's going to be, you'll come out of it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I really need to emphasize as well that advance directives do not come into play until somebody cannot make the decision for themselves. And that's really important. So you're not saying, I'm going to sign this healthcare proxy, and then all those people get to do something without asking me.
Right,
if I
right.
can still make my decisions, then I decide whether I want to have the chemo. I decide if I want a trial of mechanical intubation. I decide whether I want dialysis. It's not going to be somebody else. That only happens when you cannot make the decision.
Right, and that's very important for
people
to realize.
Really important, because I think people are scared.
Yes.
They don't want to, I don't want anybody to make my decisions. And they cannot unless you are unable. And usually when people are unable, that does mean that they have sustained a certain level of illness that,
right.
That you know, makes it important that other people know what they want.
As we go around, we do programs within the town, Project Safe and different things. But one of the things I always say, whether it's with healthcare proxies, with wills, with money. If people were able to come back after they've passed away, so many of them, I'm sure, would want to do it differently. You take the time to make the papers and say, why put people through this? Why put yourself through it? You make the decision and it's done.
Right.
Why let other people who you wouldn't give the decision-making ability to in the first place while you were alive
right.
make them when you're incapacitated or,
right.
or dead, one
right.
or the other? Actually, we're ready for a break. We're here with Linda Cooper talking about advance directives. We'll be right back.